Hey, Greg here, Remodelers Advantage, the Why We Build podcast. Steve and I want to hear from you. Please reach out. Let us know what topics you want to hear about. Do you want to be a guest? We'd love to hear from you as well. Or if you have any suggestions as who we should have on the show, we want to know. My email is greg@remodelersadvantage.com.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast. Today's guest is Callie Sudbrook of Beachside Interiors Custom Gym Design and Remodeling in Orange County and the app-based fitness program Built to Last.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Why We Build podcast. I'm your host, Greg Wallach. Steve Wheeler is on assignment. Today, we're talking about something that is becoming more common, yet still incredibly inspiring. That's entering the trades through a non-traditional path. Now, our guest today is someone who has done just that, making a bold career change into the world of remodeling after spending years in a completely different field. For many, the trades can feel like a lifelong calling, maybe something passed down through generations. But for others, it can be a second act, a new chapter after discovering a passion or seeking a more hands-on career. Now, we often hear stories about switching careers, but making the leap into the trades, which demands both technical expertise and physical skills, is a unique challenge, but a rewarding one. Callie blends her experience in fitness and construction to create custom gym spaces that are both functional and aesthetically pleasing. With her unique approach, Callie designs gyms with an understanding of both how and the why behind the space's use. Her design and build process emphasizes clear communication, transparent pricing, and an enjoyable experience from start to finish. Now, drawing on her experience as a strength coach, she also founded Built to Last, an app-based strength program for contractors and builders, where she hopes to inspire those in the trades to prioritize health and longevity for a prosperous career. Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Greg. I'm super excited to be here.
You have such great energy. I love that. Every time I talk to you, that's the energy I get.
Honestly, I felt so inspired listening to your, intro. I'm like, wow, yeah, I'm pumped now.
Well, you are inspiring. So let's just jump right in.
Okay.
How did you make the shift from fitness to construction?
I feel like I've told the story so many times that, I don't want to be a bore, but it just got to a point in my last career. I was sort of burnt out. I was bored. It sort of had just become routine. And the corporate mumbo jumbo was just sort of getting more difficult to navigate. And I thought, I really need something different. And my wife and I had been remodeling our home. I had done a really cool project for my brother. It was like this Sprinter van build out for a barber shop, a mobile barber shop. And I was just having so much fun doing these projects, and it was bringing me so much joy that I wasn't getting in my career anymore. And I thought, I think I want to do something different. And this is it. And at first I thought, this is crazy, right? Like, this is wild. I should not be doing this. I was 34, 35 at the time. But something just kept calling me back to it, where I thought, I need to do this. And my wife was completely supportive. So here I am.
Did you have any, besides these remodels and the, I also saw the barbershop you did for your brother, right? That was Las Vegas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a very cool project. I saw that online. But did you have skills before that? Did you, was there family? Was there something that brought you to this thing?
Yes and no. I didn't have any formal training in terms of construction or remodeling or anything like that. It was just sort of things I picked up along the way. My dad used to flip houses and stuff, and he would give me little odd jobs, but it wasn't anything monumental where I thought, like, yes, I'm going to go tackle a house, or, I'm going to do a full blown remodel. I didn't have those skills. That was something where I just sort of had a knowingness inside myself that I could do it. I'll figure it out. It wasn't anything that I planned.
I'll figure it out. I love that attitude. That is,
Yeah.
that's how most of us got started. We'll figure it out. You know, I used
Right,
to have a
right.
boss who would say, "You're a smart guy. Figure it out." That was his response to me most of the time when I had a question.
I love it.
Do you think there were any transferable skills coming from the fitness world into remodeling?
Oh, 100%. So, as in my career, I was towards the end, it actually got more admin based, but at the start of it, I was dealing with clients and patients and creating fitness programs and actually promoting the fitness programs and being the coach. Obviously my job morphed towards the end where I was doing budgets, which I hated, and stuff like that, all the back end stuff that wasn't fun. But what that did do is early on, I did learn how to lead people. As a coach, an educator, a mentor, you have to lead people to make sound decisions. And so whether that's, hey, you should, come and train with me 3 times a week so that you get to your goals, or if that's, hey, we should really insulate with something that is, appropriate for this climate, and you should definitely spend the money to do so, you're still leading and guiding and coaching clients. So that was definitely a major transferable skill, which I'm very grateful for because it sort of changed the game for me in terms of, you're talking about going from one career to the next. I think it eased my transition a little bit to have that, let's say, the soft skill, right, of being able to deal with people in different capacities and lead them.
What sort of challenges have you come up against so far in your remodeling career?
What haven't I faced at this point? I think there's the standard stuff of business ownership is hard. It's harder than you thought it was going to be. But ultimately, what I think has been the hardest for me personally, because I just explained this to someone the other day, I am essentially learning two separate businesses at the very same time. And what I mean by that is there's the actual skills of the on-site skills you need on a construction site. Both the project management skills, the scheduling skills, but also the actual techniques of how to do X, Y, and Z. Then, simultaneously at the same time, I've had to learn how to build a business and make sure the finances are in check and generate a profit and pay myself and like all the businessy, financy type things on the other side of it. So, at the very same moment, I am learning so many different things. It's wild. And I didn't anticipate that. I guess it's to be expected, right? Jumping into something that you've never done before. But the sheer volume of stuff that I'm learning every single day is crazy. It's a cool experience and very, very humbling. Let's say that.
Well, you seem like a person that enjoys learning, so I can see where this is probably satisfying from that point of view. Now, you did say the
100%.
word budgets at your old job, and you squint a little bit. You weren't that wasn't the face I was expecting.
Yeah.
Are you able to put that kind of effort into the business now? Are you seeing the importance of that kind of stuff?
Oh, definitely. So it's funny because in my last position, I had to regularly send off invoices to get reimbursed for these patients that we were treating through basically like a work hardening program. And so I would love doing all the other work. I would love coaching my coaches and my dietitians and my trainers and bringing us all together and doing the learning events and, just growth opportunities for my team. And I just loved that stuff. And then when it got to sending in the invoices, I would put it off until the very last second because it made my eyes burn, looking at all the numbers and having to be organized about all the numbers and double, triple checking everything because everything has to be perfect, right? I mean, these are big numbers that we're talking about. And so there was a lot weighing on it to where it made me want to really procrastinate with it. But it was a good learning experience because I realized as a business owner, I can't drag my feet when it comes to that stuff. I really have to be on the ball because it's my livelihood, right? So, ironically, the very thing that I hated doing in my last career, I really have to be on the ball now. And I still hate it just as much, But there's a little bit more motivation, I guess, because it's my own business and it's my own livelihood at stake, where I just have to get it done.
That's a huge thing for business owners who get into the trades because they want to wear the tool belt, they want to do the fun stuff, and then they realize there is a business component on the other end that was the reason why
Who
they didn't go into business in the first place is because they're not, not business people, or we can do that. So tell me about Beachside. What's your obviously gyms is one of the things, but like what does Beachside do?
So I like to say that we create spaces for health and happiness. So whatever that means for somebody, however, that doesn't mean we're going to create a bathroom or a kitchen. It's just not our thing. I've realized that coming into this space sort of late in the game, I'm not going to be competitive in those spaces because there are so many super talented individuals who are already doing that thing. And especially in Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, I mean, there's a dime a dozen, right? I mean, pretty much anywhere in SoCal. So I thought, I don't like, I do love those spaces, but I had been commissioned by two different colleagues to do a home gym for them. And it just sort of like the light bulb went off. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is my thing. You know, I have all this experience in the fitness industry. And what was ironic is I had been designing and building fitness spaces in my position at UC Irvine and creating, you know, gyms all across campus at the medical center. And it never dawned on me that, oh my gosh, I've been doing this forever. I guess again, another transferable skill was that, you know, designing fitness spaces so that they're accessible to people, they're functional and beautiful. And so that's what I aim to do is making, let's say it's a garage gym. I'm working on one right now in Costa Mesa. There were so many asks and things on the wish list that this client wanted. Sometimes it gets a little bit daunting, like, well, I don't know if all this is going to fit in that space, but I really do try and do my best to make sure that it's a space where when they walk in, they're not inundated with stuff and junk everywhere and things that, well, I wish we had a solution for this. I want to create the solutions so that that space becomes more enjoyable and they can do the things that they love, whether that's, you know, working out in it or doing their laundry and having it not be cluttered. So a lot of the spaces I do are multi-use spaces, but within that, the heart of it is fitness spaces, home gyms. I do commercial gyms and spaces, but I just really want fitness to be part of people's lives, like their literal everyday life.
So what is behind the creative process when you're developing a design for a gym? How much is input from the homeowner? How much is Cali? Like what are you doing in that creative process?
What I try and do is I go back to my days as a trainer, right? And I told someone this and they're like, oh, that doesn't sound sexy at all. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, it doesn't. But essentially we do something called the needs analysis with every single client that walked in the door of, okay, you know, what's your injury status? What do you like to do? When did you most, or when in your life did you last feel most fit? You know, things like that. Just really getting down to the nitty-gritty of who that person is, what they want, what their motivations are. And so I really just kind of use that same template with my clients now of what are they truly trying to use this space for? How often are they using it? What else are they going to be doing in this space to where I'm collecting their wish list items and sort of their vision. And they might not know how that's going to be achieved, but that's my job to know what materials, what selections am I making to allow them to achieve that goal, creative storage solutions, for example, or just organizing and arranging the space a little bit better and a little bit more mindfully so that they can go in and go, oh my gosh, this is 1,000 times better.
So you and I both share this love for this book, Unreasonable Hospitality, Will Guidara. How have you embraced that and how have you worked that into your business?
I love that book. And I think it resonated so much with me because that's really how I try and approach every interaction that I have with anybody, not just my clients, but, you know, coming on your podcast, for example, you know, it's like I really tried to do my research on the previous episodes or, you know, what the flow is and really research the questions that you sent me so that I'm not memorizing anything, but I want to sound somewhat polished, right? And thoughtful with my responses. And so I think that's the heart of it, of what I like so much about the book and about, the unreasonable hospitality mindset, is that you're creating an experience for somebody from the moment they interact with you on day one all the way through till the end. And so that experience has to be consistent and it has to be thoughtful. And everything I try and do along the process is I'm thinking of how are they perceiving this experience? How are they enjoying the experience? Because everyone knows, okay, remodeling sucks. It's dirty, it's grimy, it's dusty, it's loud. But if you can take a moment to put yourself in their shoes, what they're experiencing, and find ways to sort of ease the pain throughout, I think that goes a long way, and it humanizes the process. It humanizes you as the contractor, and it just makes it a much more enjoyable experience.
How is this thought process? I mean, obviously, this isn't just from the book. You've done this before. This is sort of your personality, and which is amazing. But how has this impacted your business?
That's hard to say now, because what I mean by that is a lot of my clients have been my former colleagues from the fitness world. And so then they've commissioned me to do projects for them and then referred me out to their friends and buddies and gym owners and people like that. And so they tend to be on the younger side. They've never gone through a remodel before, and they've probably never hired a contractor before. I don't think that they understand the gravity of having someone who is providing the experience that I'm providing versus someone who maybe isn't as concerned about that type of experience for their client. And so they don't know any better, to be quite honest. And so I think it's going to be very interesting when, let's say, they do that kitchen or bathroom later on. And I don't necessarily want to do that kitchen or bathroom, but I will help them find someone who will do it. I'm curious to know what they say at that point, whether they had just as good of an experience or if it was different and how it was different. And so that is sort of in the back of my mind going, I want to impress the hell out of them so that when they hire anyone else from here on out, they're like, wow, Callie, she did something different here. And they notice that.
So, as an entrepreneur, leadership, that type of stuff, what do you find, managing the business? What are some of the unique challenges that you're facing? Maybe you faced. You've been very honest on Instagram. There's the lighting. I remember that was a pretty. I've been in that situation too, so I know what that feels like.
I think there's sort of this unknowing of whether what you're doing is right. So let's say from the back end of the business, things like marketing, and am I doing what I need to be doing in order to push the needle forward, to generate leads, to drum up business, right? So, and you don't know if that's going to work until several weeks later. And then you course correct or you pivot or whatever, right? And then on like the job site side of things, there's the estimating process and the pricing structure and things like that, navigating that has probably been the hardest thing for me. Because you want to know your value, right? You don't want to lowball yourself or your clients, but you also don't want to give them an estimate or a proposal that's just so asinine where they're like, where are these numbers coming from? You also have to know your market. You have to understand what the market can bear in terms of pricing and profit and things like that. And so that is, I believe, sort of a never-ending target. And it's like you're always chasing it. You're always trying to get to that perfect pricing structure that may or may not exist. And there's been a couple jobs where I feel like I've done really, really well for myself. And not at the expense of the client, but they paid and they got what the value was, right? There are other jobs where I've horribly miscalculated things, or to be quite frank, I just forget things sometimes because it's like, oh, I have to put in this butcher block desktop, right? Well, I forgot I have to sand it and finish it and all of these things, right? And it's like, why did I? That's a common thing, right? To finish this piece, but I just didn't add it into my proposal. So just dumb little mistakes like that over the course of months, years, they add up to quite a lot. And so it's learning how to minimize those slippage items and, making sure I'm on point with my pricing. And that truly has been the hardest part, I will say.
So what do you do with these lessons learned though? This the butcher block. You may never do another butcher block countertop again, but that's a lesson you learned. So how are you helping yourself not make a similar mistake down the road?
So in my proposal, I have a document that I have on the side that's like a checklist of like literally it's things you forgot. And so I refer to that every single time I'm doing a new proposal. So it's like, oh yeah, I can't forget door hardware. Duh, right? It's assumed it's in there, but it's not assumed when you're forgetting it at Lowe's, like, well, I just spent $200 because I forgot to add that in my proposal, So, yeah, it's just making note of those things and doing sort of like a postmortem of what did I forget on this job and how do I not make that mistake again? Because, there's only learning lessons, right? So you just have to kind of take it on the chin and move on.
So if I could give any advice in that realm is a feedback loop. So someday your business is going to grow. You're going to have a lot of people working for you, and you got to get that information back to them, and they got to get the information back to you. But that
Sure.
is the checklist. My colleague, my friend Tim Fowler, that's like if you're on his bingo card, checklist. He says checklist all the time. So
Well, yeah, and it makes sense because you look at pilots, doctors, all these really, I would say crucial people in society, they have checklists for a reason, right?
absolutely. Absolutely. So, a couple more things. You're in a very male-dominated industry, and maybe you were in fitness as well. I don't know enough about that world either.
So yeah, being in the fitness industry, it was very male dominated, still is. And then I went right into another male dominated field, but I feel like it's just sort of my comfort zone, to be quite honest. I've had nothing but great experiences across the board. And the guys I've come into contact with, you being one of them, I mean, I joke with people, it's like I have all these mentors and all of these people that I really look up to and people men in particular that are doing just amazing things in the industry to propel the industry, to push people forward and sort of elevate them, right? Picking the people up behind them and lifting them up. And I've had that experience across the board. I have not had a negative experience yet. And to be honest, if I have, I really didn't give it much weight because I've had so many other positive, like incredibly positive and memorable experiences with men who just want to help and, give maybe some advice or who are quick to sort of point out, hey, maybe how I could have done something different because I'm constantly looking for feedback. And so I think being a woman in this field, if you are open to feedback and you're open to being coached, I think you're going to be very successful. If you have this mindset of, I don't need a man's help. like I don't, I'm gonna figure it out myself. That's fine. I think there might be some trouble there just because in my experience, people are so willing to offer help and they want to show their expertise and they want to see you thrive. And so I think it's a missed opportunity being closed off to that. But as a woman, I feel like I'm never going to be one of the guys, right? I can joke around and hold my own with as, with any of them, but there's still sort of a different dynamic when a woman steps in the room that I understand completely. And I will always be aware of that. And so I don't fault men for that. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different dynamic. The same way if I'm having a conversation with a woman, it's going to be a different dynamic than if I'm having a conversation with a man. And it's not right, it's not wrong, it just is, right? And so recognizing that and just bringing your values, your skill set, and that will be recognized, your hard work. And I think if you can sort of in the gym, if you can lift with the boys, then you're all right,
I do think in general our industry is very giving in terms of helping and sharing. Like, I mean, I know you've experienced that. I've experienced that as well. It is really a great thing. So I want to step into your other world here, and this is the app. Tell me about Built to Last.
So Built to Last, I've had this idea since the inception of my business, Beachside Interiors, where I thought there's got to be a way to bridge this gap, because my father-in-law, who has been a kitchen and bathroom remodeler for 25, 30 years, and who I've learned a lot from, and I know he probably won't ever listen to this, and this is not a knock on him, but he tends to be one of like the old school type of contractors where he gatekeeps information or thinks that he doesn't need to learn new things, or, you know, and he doesn't take care of his body. So I would say that's sort of like the old school mentality of a contractor of like, oh, just, you know, you're going to be in pain every day and you're just going to grit your teeth and bear it and get through it, right? And you're just going to be in this on this island all alone by yourself trying to get through these jobs, right? And I think that's a very unsustainable and unhealthy way of living and surviving. You know, it just makes me sad, to be quite honest. And I know there's a better way, because I'm not there yet, you know, and when I say there, you know, it's in air quotes, like I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. Like I have this upward trajectory where I know I have big visions for myself. And so at the end of the day, I want people like myself, obviously, and others around me who are doing great things to be healthy and fit enough to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor, because we are working so hard on site that we owe it to ourselves to be fit so that we can enjoy time with our families. So that if an injury does occur on site, it's not so debilitating where it takes away from our livelihood. And so that was really the drawing force behind me to create this app, where it's, you know, you download the app and you can do a strength program that is specific to contractors. So a lot of what we would call unilateral work, you know, you're carrying a heavy, you know, 5 gallon bucket, your body's going to kind of be lopsided, right? So you're doing a lot of bending and kneeling and stooping and, you know, awkward contortions to get cabinets up or whatever, you know? So I created it with those movements in mind of strengthening those types of movements, those muscles behind those movements, so that we're resilient. And so it's sort of just like a passion project, but I really do think it's going to blow up. It's going to take some time, right? Because there's some, I would say some hesitation of like, oh, you know, I already work out because I'm on site, you know, I'm lifting heavy all day long. And so if for anyone who's listening to this and that's what their response is, this program is exactly for that person.
If I have any regrets about this, it's not taking care of myself when I was, you know, bags on and, you know, like who could carry the most plywood, who could carry the most.
Yeah.
Fours, and I can't kneel in church anymore because of all that stuff, but what are you going to do? Right.
Right.
So with all this stuff you have going, how do you deal work-life balance? What's going on in Callie's life outside of, I don't know how you can fit in all these hours.
I don't know either, other than the fact that I have a very, very understanding wife and a hardworking one at that. So she has picked up the reins a lot, you know, especially when I first started my business, working overtime in her job and just making sure that we didn't suffer financially. And she still does to this day. And so that has allowed me the freedom to build this business and to do these other creative projects like Built to Last with complete creativity in mind without having the stress. Because when you're super stressed and you're worried about where the next paycheck is coming from, you take jobs that you shouldn't take, or you're not able to be present enough to be creative like you need to be on these jobs, figuring out what am I going to do with this space that's going to be the best for the client. And so that has truly afforded me, like I said, just the ability to do all of the things that I'm doing. And we have sort of this understanding where, okay, shit's going to get really hard for a couple weeks because I'm starting a job. She's going to pick up a ton of overtime, so that it's just like, we might not see each other a whole lot for those couple of weeks, but then we're very structured in the sense of when we have that downtime of, okay, this is a good week to maybe get away. We'll take like a 3-4 day little mini trip or mini vacation just to kind of reset, you know, reconnect. And that has truly been a saving grace where it's like, we get to choose. Like that's the joy of owning your own business. We get to choose when to work hard, when to take the break, and, you know, have that, the freedom to choose what works for us, you know?
So we're going to do four or five questions, real rapid fire.
Okay.
Some of them you may have seen, some of them you haven't, I know. But here we go.
Okay.
What actor would play you in a movie?
Oh my gosh. I am the worst with actors and actresses. I'm going to draw a blank on this, but someone with like short blonde hair, obviously. Maybe like Uma Thurman or something like that.
Okay.
She's like a badass, you know?
All right, I could see that. I could see
yeah.
that. What's your favorite nonfiction book other than Unreasonable Hospitality?
This is a hard one too. I have so many favorites. I'm going to say How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Dale Carnegie. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent read.
Yeah. It's an oldie but goodie.
One tool that you can't live without.
Traxsaw, 100%.
I knew you were going to say that. I saw that in your Built to Last feed there. That was pretty good. What's your dream project?
Say that again.
Your dream project. What's something you'd like to do?
Dream project would be working with Patterson Custom Homes in Newport Beach as their go-to fitness space designer.
All right.
I'm putting it out into the universe now.
Let's do it. Let's see if I can make some calls.
Okay.
The most satisfying part of a finished remodeling project.
Seeing the joy in their face when they walk in and see it completed. I've done my deep clean. It's picture ready. And seeing the smile on their face is just, honestly, it sounds cheesy, but that is the best part.
Not cheesy at all. Last question. This isn't part of the rapid fire, but if you could give a piece of advice to someone who's looking to make a career transition or just get into the trades, you know, what nugget could you give them?
I feel like I'm not going to be super profound here, but I feel like if you have the inkling, do it. You know, if you're feeling that pull, if you're feeling something drawing you to it, it's probably not going to go away. And you should probably just jump in sooner rather than later. You know, why put it off? The faster you can get to a decision, the better, always.
Awesome. Where can we get in touch with Callie? Where can we get in touch with the app?
Couple places. So if you want to get in contact with me, I have my personal page where it's all things Callie the Contractor. So that's at Callie the Contractor on Instagram. Then for my business page, it's beachsideinteriors_OC. And that's all of our projects, you know, walkthroughs, things like that. And then Built to Last Crew, also on Instagram. And check us out.
We'll be sure to put those in the notes for everyone as well. Callie,
appreciate
thank
it.
You so much for joining me. I really appreciate this. You know, we've had an opportunity to interact in real life, and it's been
yes.
great. And thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I appreciate it, Greg. I'm really grateful for this opportunity, too.
Right on.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. We hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg@remodelersadvantage.com.